Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's great to be here tonight, and I believe God wants to speak to you. I believe God wants to stir your heart because there's always more in your life for God. There's more to your marriage. There's more to your future. There's more dreams. There's more miracles. There's more resource. There's more finance. There's more souls in your family. More backsliders to come home. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine." What? "According to the power that is working within you." That same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is alive in me. Turn to your neighbor and say, "It's alive in me tonight." Like I said before, in Australia, we're very close to Asia. So as a church, most of my life, we've had mission focus in Asia. In fact, they're calling this century the Asian century. And we love going to Asia. In our church, we've got many Asians. In our city, we've got many of the Asian population, Chinese, Malaysian, Indians, all people from the subcontinent. So many, many times, one of our particular focus has been on the nation of India. India has 1.3 billion people and growing every day. A small village in India is about 1 million people, you know. And 2 years ago, we planted a church in Mumbai, which has 24 million people. It's crammed. It's amazing. And we're seeing miracles all the time. But one time, and I say this because at youth camp, I took a group of young people as a youth pastor to India. And we went there for 2 weeks, just before Christmas. And I remember, because when you go to India, you eat curry for breakfast, curry for lunch, curry for dinner. And then the next day, you eat curry for breakfast, curry for lunch, and curry for dinner, washed down with warm Coca-Cola, okay? And that's all right. I love curry. I love Indian food. If you're Indian background here, I love going to India. But when you have curry, not just for one day, but 2 days, 7 days, 14 days, you start dreaming about curry in your sleep. You start sweating curry. You start, everything's just curry, 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 curry. So I was, after 14 days, I've been with 16 teenagers. I wanted to come home to my own home, give these kids back to their parents. I just wanted to be with myself and my family, my lovely wife, my two awesome boys. And I was at the last day of the missions trip. And we'd seen miracles of healing. We'd seen salvations. We'd been to small churches and large churches. We'd been in churches with incredible worship. And it was supposed to be a rest day on the last day. And they said to me, "Pastor Paul, would you mind not resting? There's a church that's rung us. They've heard of the miracles. Would you come and minister at that church?" And I didn't want to come and minister at that church. I didn't want to be a Christian on that day. I just wanted to give these teenagers. I was getting grumpy and tired, and I didn't want another meal of curry. And so sure enough, I said, "Yes, we'll come." So we got on that bus, that school bus, and we started driving out to a small village of about 1 million people. And as we drove into the village, we felt the atmosphere. Ever walked in somebody's house and felt an atmosphere? Ever walked, that brother was saying before, into a school and felt an atmosphere? You can feel oppression. You can feel violence. You can feel discouragement. You can feel brokenness. Just like when you walk into church tonight, you can feel joy in the atmosphere. You can feel love in the atmosphere. And as we drove into this village, we felt an oppression. It was heavy. It was dark. We rolled up to this church, and the church was just a concrete floor and no walls and a thatched roof. I knew it was going to be interesting service when they sent a 10-year-old boy up a power pole to plug directly into electricity. I knew it was going to be interesting service when the drummer, after finishing the drums practice, walked to a tree, broke off two small branches, new beauty, new ones, new sticks. It was one of those services. The service started and all the women sat on this side in their beautiful saris and all the men sat on this side. Now, the problem was there was no joy in this church. No one was clapping. No one was raising their hands. The worship was like, it was like purgatory. It was just going on and on. I was like, and the problem was there was three worship leaders, and each worship leader was leading in a different language the same song, three different dialects. It was awful. I'm like, Holy Spirit, please come back. He said, I've gone to Starbucks for the meeting. The worship, and I'm like, this is the most awful service. The worship went on and on. And finally, the pastor said, we've got some friends from Australia. They're going to minister in the word and in song. And so we got our teenagers up there, and I was just praying, Lord, this is the worst service I've ever been in my life. I just want to go home. This is so hard. This is so awful. You got to help me, Holy Spirit. And so sure enough, we began to sing songs because at least we knew four chords on that guitar. We played in tune. We sang this song, and while I had my eyes closed, all the local musicians got excited and jumped up on the stage, and they started playing with us. Now it was awful. They were playing on every key in that keyboard. It was the worst sound you've ever heard in church. And I'm like, Lord, help me. This is the most awful service I've ever been in my life. And right there and then, I felt the Lord give me a word of wisdom. And I spoke to the interpreter, and he said, right now, we're going to sing a cappella. And so as the musicians were quiet, I could finally hear the voice of the Lord speak. As we sang in a cappella and the musicians stopped. And then right there, and the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And I said, there's somebody here tonight, you're not of the Christian faith. In fact, you're of the Muslim faith. And tonight you've come into this place because you're desperate. Your husband's been injured in a work accident. You have four sons, and tomorrow you're going to be kicked out of your home onto the streets because you cannot pay your rent. You went to the local mullah and he said, I cannot help you. So you said, maybe those followers of Jesus can help me. And at risk of your own life, of being beaten, tortured, or jailed for coming to this church, you came to see if Jesus could help you. And Jesus has heard your prayer tonight. I said, if that's you, would you walk to the front? And a little 4 foot nothing, little Muslim lady came forward with her full burqa. She stood at the altar, and something began to happen as she walked to the front of the church. You see, I didn't realize this church had been severely persecuted. This church had not seen someone saved for 5 years. The elders had been beaten, the pastor had been put in jail for his faith. And as this woman began to come to the front, the people began to clap. They began to stamp their feet. They began to wolf whistle. They began to shout hallelujah as she came to the altar, and the presence of Jesus hit her, and she began to weep before the Lord as the pastor led her to Jesus in her local dialect. That woman had desperate faith. She could have been jailed, persecuted, or killed for walking in the doors of the church, but she was in such a desperate position. She thought, maybe those followers of Jesus can help me. There comes time in your life where you just can't go same, same. You've got to make a decision. Am I that desperate that I need God in my life and my circumstances? Tonight, I could share with you so many things, but I want to share with you the one key that will set you apart from all believers. That is, you must be someone who possesses faith in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the collateral of the supernatural. Faith, not good works, produces miracles. Good works are important. Good works give us credibility and influence here on earth. But faith releases God's miracle provision and power on the earth. The Bible says even faith as small as a mustard seed is incredibly powerful. Hebrews 11:6 says, without worship, it is impossible to please God. No. Without the word, it is impossible to please God. No, it says without faith, it is impossible to please God. I know here at C3 South San Diego tonight, we've got people in this room saying, I want to please God, so I want faith to flow through my life. If you believe that, give God a shout of praise. You see, faith is the collateral of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven that pleases the heart of God. You see, the Christian walk is a faith walk. Every year, like that brother said tonight about Vision Sunday, every year God's going to challenge you as an individual to take a step of faith. Yeah. Every year, God's going to challenge you as a family, take a step of faith. Every year at C3 San Diego, God's going to challenge us as a church family to take a new step of faith. But it doesn't just happen in January. Every week, he's going to ask you to take a step of faith. Every month, he's going to ask, because God loves us too much for us to stay the same. He wants us to grow in faith. You say, how do you know that, Pastor Paul? Well, I know because the whole Christian walk is faith. Do you remember when you weren't a follower of Christ and your workmate said, hey, come to my church? I'm not going to that church, that C3 church. You're crazy. You clap, you dance, you shout, you get too excited. And by faith, you got in the car. And by faith, you came to church. And by faith, you drank that coffee in the foyer of C3 South. And by faith, someone preached the gospel from this platform. And by faith, you raised your hand. And by faith, you walked to the front. And by faith, you confessed with your mouth. And by faith, you believed in your heart. And by faith, you were born again. You were saved. It's a faith walk. And some people just stop there and for the rest of their lives are on a spiritual plateau. Because they don't take it. They're going to heaven, but they're not taking any more steps of faith. But God says, oh, that's fantastic. But have you been water baptized by full immersion? Next Sunday night, 5 p.m., you can be water baptized. And you thought, oh, you got to grow in your faith. So the next step of faith is water baptism. And suddenly you found yourself in front of a church dressed like an angel. And you went down by faith in the water, up by faith, and something happened in your spiritual walk. You grew in faith. And then someone said, that's fantastic you're born again. That's fantastic you've been water baptized. But have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? And by faith you prayed a prayer. And by faith you spoke it out. And by faith that gift of God began to flow within you. Maybe you came from a more traditional church. Well, Pastor Paul, I just like to worship God on the inside. I like to reserve. I'm a stoic believer. I'm like a rock. I cannot be shaken. I'm not into this, you know, these outgoing Latino people like to worship expressively with their hands and their bodies. And I'm just white. No. And then you start reading the Bible. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. The Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. The Bible says, lifting holy hands to Him. Wow. And you realize it's not a personality thing. It's a biblical thing. And so, I'm going to take a step of faith in church. I've never raised my hands. What happened if I raise my hands? Everyone's looking. You know, stupid. They're looking at the screen. So secretly, you're in worship. And then suddenly you just went for it and you took a step of faith and you grew in your relationship with God. Or maybe the first time you gave in the tithes and offerings was an incredible step of faith. Benjamin Franklin had tears in his eyes as you dropped him in the bucket. You're hanging onto him so tight. But you took a step of faith and the windows of heaven opened over your life. Maybe the first time you forgave someone, you grew because you took a step of faith. The Christian walk will always be us taking steps of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I just want to quickly tonight give you a couple of aspects of faith which will help us as believers keep on growing, keep on enlarging in our lives for God. Can I hear an amen? Number one is this, if you're taking notes. We need to be people of desperate faith. That woman in India, that Muslim woman who gave her life to Christ, you know, the next week she brought her whole family to church. They all got saved, her husband and her brother, her sons, and then they got them a place of accommodation. But she had desperate faith. She could have been persecuted. She could have been killed for walking in the doors of the church. Some of the greatest prayers you ever pray will not be that eloquent. Some of the greatest prayers you ever pray will not be that theologically correct. They go like this, help! Lord, I do not know what to do right now. Some of the people in the Bible, they weren't that, we look at them and say, wow, these people are amazing. No, they were crazy, man, just like you and me. There's Bartimaeus, he's blind on the side of the road. The crowd begins to come and he begins to shout, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd's like, shut up, you blind beggar, you street dweller. I'm looking for important people. He's not interested in you. I love Bartimaeus. Isn't it amazing how the world always wants to put you in a box that says blind Bartimaeus, divorced Terry, ex-con Roger. No. Bartimaeus, he says, I'm not listening to you. I'm desperate. I've been stuck in this place all my life. I've been blind. I'm begging for my daily bread. He says, Son of David, have mercy upon me. You know what's amazing? He wasn't the only person calling on the name of Jesus. There was a crowd of thousands and they're all reaching out. Jesus, heal my baby. Jesus, screaming voices. And this one man says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus in the crowd hears the one desperate voice. He walks through the crowd. He reaches out his hand and says, What is it that you want? He says, Lord, I want my sight. He says, Your faith has made you well. Maybe tonight you got to get a little bit more restless. Maybe the frustration you're feeling right now is a channel for God's breakthrough, a miracle in your life. Don't resist it. Embrace it. Maybe you got to be like Abraham and Isaac and wrestle with God all night until you get your blessing. But do not give up. Well, there's the woman with the issue of blood. It wasn't just a one-week storm. For 12 years, she'd been bleeding. She once was wealthy. But she spent all her money on doctors and specialists and she still was unwell. Now she's treated like a leper on the outside of the community that she once was. But she thinks, I've heard of Jesus. He heals people. He raises the dead. And the Bible says she presses through. She went into the zone she was not supposed to be in. She begins to push through the crowd. She falls to the ground. I'm telling you, anything great in God's going to cost something of you. And she runs through the crowd and suddenly she touches the hem of Christ's garment. Jesus said, somebody touch me. The disciples are, come on, Jesus. You're like a rock star. You're like Bruno Mars. Everybody's trying to touch you. He said, no. Somebody touched me. I felt power. I felt virtue flow out of me. He turns to the woman with the issue of blood and says, your faith has made you well. Some of you are facing impossible situations. Some of you are facing the greatest challenges of your life, of bankruptcy, of maybe of betrayal, or maybe of brokenness, maybe of addiction. I'm telling you, if you're in a desperate place, you're in the right place because God responds to desperate faith. Let's be like Jacob and says, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. So firstly, we're going to have desperate faith. Second thing, is we need to have servant faith. Servant faith. I love the Gospel of Mark. You know why I love the Gospel of Mark? It's the shortest gospel. I reckon that it was a Puerto Rican that wrote the Gospel of Mark. You see, the Gospel of Matthew, you know, he just goes on with all these long words, but straight to the point, Mark 6. Straight to the point. And Mark chapter 2 is an amazing story of four guys and a crippled friend. You know that story? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us how this boy got crippled. Now, we've been watching the World Cup this week, the real football, this is how I saw it happening in history, is there was five boys, they were playing soccer, they were playing football in their front yard, and suddenly the soccer ball went over the fence, out ran out one of the, bang, got hit by a camel. He was a cripple. That's what happened. So these five boys have been growing up with their crippled friend all their lives. He's been to the healing line at church. He's put his name up for the prayer request many times. He's got no more faith to believe that anything's going to change. But his friends hear that Jesus is coming to the next village. And they go up to him and say, hey man, Jesus is in the next village. We want to take you. He's healing the sick. He's raising the dead. No, don't bother about me, guys. Don't bother about me. He had no faith to believe for himself, but his friends served him with their faith. They wouldn't take no for an answer. They picked him up on a stretcher and they said, we're taking you to Jesus. They served him with their faith when he had no faith to believe. And the Bible says they carried him. It wasn't just one block. They carried miles and miles through the desert heat until the next village. They couldn't get into the house because the crowd was so big. They tried to bribe the guy for a ticket. He wouldn't take any. So these guys were true problem solvers. Next thing, they're vandalizing the place. They're digging a hole in the roof and they drop their crippled friend to the front of Jesus. He says, your faith has made you rise up and walk. You see, we're living in a generation that's not crippled on the outside, but they're crippled on the inside. They're so crippled on the inside, they haven't got faith
to come into the four walls of this church. Therefore, you and I need to take some of those visitor cards, those invitation cards, and we need to go out there and we need to serve our workmates, our school friends, our neighbours in our street, and we need to pick them up and carry them to church to the feet of Jesus so they will be saved. We need to serve others with our faith. And it's not only the unbeliever. You know, sometimes in church life, Christians walk through storms and challenges and they're so sapped of their spiritual energy, they may have been in sickness or bereavement or brokenhearted, and we as Christians need to come around our brothers and sisters in the faith because they've got no faith to believe, and we need to carry them to the feet of Jesus at church so the Lord can speak to them and raise them up. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Third thing, we need to have courageous and obedient faith. Courageous and obedient faith. Let me read a passage from the Gospel of Mark chapter 3. And Jesus, verse 1, entered the synagogue again. And there was a man there with a withered hand. So they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Step forward." And he said to him, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. Verse 5, and when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And as he stretched it out, his hand was restored as whole as the other. I love this story. Notice there's the man with the withered hand. He'd had this disability all his life. People knew him. He was defined by his disability. Now, most disabled people I know want to be treated equally like everybody else. I have a friend one time, I flew to another city to preach at his family camp. And as I got off the airplane and I went through the airport terminal, I reached out my hand to shake Pastor David's hand. As I reached out my hand, he reached out his arm, which did not have a hand on it. It was an awkward moment. Until suddenly he got his arm, slapped me on the shoulder, goes, "I love scaring people with the old stump." Pastor David was married with 3 kids, had a great church. His disability in no way defined him. Here is a man with a withered hand. He's hearing Jesus is coming to the synagogue. He's thinking, "Wow, I've heard he does miracles. I hope he heals me today. Oh, no, oh, I couldn't ask that. I don't want him made a spectacle of. I don't want to be embarrassed amongst the congregation." So he doesn't sit on the front with a beautiful shirt like my brother here so he can get seen by the pastor. He sits in the middle back there. That's a prophecy shirt right there, young people. We'll prophesy at the end. And so sure enough, here comes Jesus. Now, what does Jesus do? Meek, mild, loving Jesus. Does he turn to the book of Psalms? Does he turn to the Isaiah or the prophet? No, this is what loving, meek, and mild Jesus does when he gets behind the pulpit. He says, "You, with a withered hand." Suddenly everybody's looking at this guy. And the whole focus, the whole attention of the whole meeting is on the man and his disability. And Jesus says to him, "Step forward." I'm telling you, Jesus will always ask you to do things, be bold and courageous and obedient at the most inopportune moments of your life. He'll ask you to give when your bank balance is empty. He'll ask you to step out in faith when you're most fearful, discouraged point of your life. Right there and then, he has to decide, am I going to listen to the voice of Jesus? Or am I going to listen to my own voice of self-doubt? The voice of self-doubt saying, what happens if you step forward and nothing happens? But what happens if you step forward and something does happen? Well, then there's the voice of the devil. The voice of the devil saying he just wants to make a mockery of you. If you step out, everybody's going to laugh at you and curse you. And then the third voice is the voice of the crowd. The crowd doesn't want to. Sometimes you think the crowd or your family wants to push you forward. They want to hold you back quite often from your destiny. The crowd speaks of the lowest common denominator. The crowd speaks of averageness. The crowd speaks of mediocrity. When God speaks to you as a family, as God speaks as an individual, quite often it's the most loneliest step of faith you're ever going to take. Have you noticed that? The first step is always the hardest step in obedience. But I'm so glad he doesn't listen to the voice of doubt in his head. I'm so glad he doesn't listen to the voice of the devil. I'm so glad he doesn't listen to the voice of the crowd that will hold him back from his destiny. He listens to the one voice that counts, the voice of Jesus, and he takes a step towards Jesus. But you know what's awesome now? When Jesus speaks a second time, it's easy to hear because he's one step away from the noise of the crowd. And then Jesus says, "Stretch out your hand." Notice Jesus doesn't ask him to stretch out in his greatest area of strength. Jesus asks him to stretch out in his greatest area of weakness and vulnerability. He says, stretch out your withered hand. Notice Jesus doesn't heal him before he stretches out, because God always wants us to be part of the miracle. The Bible says, as he stretched out his hand, it was made as whole as the other. So I'm telling you tonight, church, some of you got to step forward and stretch out. In your business, you got to step forward, you got to stretch out. In your giving, you got to step forward, you got to stretch out. In reaching your school friends at high school when you go back this semester, you got to step forward, you got to stretch out. We've got to believe that, because God wants us to see obedient and courageous faith. We are, every year in our church, we have a miracle offering. You could probably do the same thing. And we just ask the people, would you pray and ask God what you can give? And we ask them to take a step of faith. It doesn't have to be the same amount every year. It could be less this year, more. Whatever God asks you, you do, and step out and stretch out in faith. And so sure enough, one of my pastors at one of my campuses was challenging the congregation, would you pray and ask God what you could give in the miracle offering in 6 weeks' time? As he's praying, the Lord says to him, you know that secret savings account you got? I want you to put it all in the offering. He's like, get behind me, Satan. You see, he'd been saving for a long time for his wife's 30th birthday. His wife at the time was our children's pastor, and he said he wanted to take her overseas to Vietnam for her 30th birthday. He wanted to take her on a golfing holiday because that's what she really wanted. He'd been saving all this money for 2 years, and he'd saved quite a lot of money, and the Lord said, put it in the miracle offering. He's like, no, God, you're messing my plans up. And so sure enough, every week he's telling the church, pray and ask God what you can give. Step forward, stretch out. And every Sunday, the Lord would say to him, you get that secret savings account, you put it all in the miracle offering. He's like, get behind me, Satan. And so sure enough, the last Sunday before the miracle offering, he's driving home from church. His wife says to him, you know, honey, you know that secret savings account I'm not supposed to know about? You see, men, you've got to realize it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, wife. Fourth person of the Trinity, okay? She says, the Lord spoke to me at church today. We've got to put all that savings account in the miracle offering. He's like, oh, next Sunday, they put in the miracle offering. About a couple of weeks later, he gets a phone call. Is this Pastor Matt? He says, yes, it is. Are you a member of Australian Golf Digest? He said, yes, I am. You've just run 2 business class tickets to Mission Hills China Golf Resort and $2,000 worth of free golf equipment and free cooking classes for your wife for the week. Step forward, stretch out. Step forward, stretch out. What is God challenging you to step forward in? Don't expect everyone to walk with you. The first step is always a lonely step. Fourth thing is this. We need to have persistent faith. Persistent faith. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 18. I won't read it for time's sake, but it's the story of the persistent widow. Her children are going to be taken away. This grandma, she's after her family's justice. She's in so much debt that they're going to take her sons away. And this lady, she's powerless. The Bible says there was a judge who neither feared God nor man, but had all authority and power. But the Bible says something amazing happens. She just keeps coming to this judge. I want my justice. I want my justice. He's driving out of his beautiful house in BMW, and she's there on the footpath. She's down, he's down at some beautiful restaurant by the beach there in the cafe al fresco with all his lawyer friends, and he looks across the restaurant and here's the widow. She's relentless in asking for her justice. And the Bible says the unjust judge who neither fears God nor man gives her a justice. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? I want to challenge people today. If God has given you a promise, his promises are never void. His promises, the Bible say, are yes and amen. You got to don't give up on what God's telling you to believe for. Maybe it's a dream for your business. Maybe it's a dream for your kids to have a college education. Maybe you believe in to purchase a house. It looks impossible in the natural, but God's given you a dream and a desire in your heart. I'm telling you, if he's spoken it, it will come to pass. If you do not grow weary, if you do not give up. Every promise of God will be tested by the enemy. We got to stand strong. We got to go forward. We've got to keep on praying and believing. We've got to not give up. We've got to be persistent like the widow. Have you noticed little kids are incredibly persistent? They're relentless in wearing you down for the things that they want. I want to encourage you today. God's promises are yes and amen. There's people here today. Your kids are away from God. They're backslidden. They are a million miles away from Jesus. There's some people here today and you don't even know where your children are. But the Lord does. And I'm telling you, He's watching over them. He loves your children more than you do. And I'm telling you today, they're going to be in the house of God. Whether it takes 1 week or 1 month or 1 year or 10 years, we're going to believe for a day when you look down the aisle of this church and you see all your kids and your grandkids and you say to God be the glory, great things He has done. The prodigal sons and daughters will come on. I'm telling some of you to stop praying. You stop believing because it seems so impossible. But we serve the God that does the impossible. So I want to stir up your faith to believe for the backslider to come back home. Last one is this. If I have the musicians, please come. I believe God wants each one of us to be people of great faith. I believe great faith is found in small steps of faith. Great faith and miracles come mostly from insignificant opportunities and inconveniences in your life. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted by the sea, and it would obey you. What an amazing scripture. You know, the mustard seed's one of the most small seeds. You don't know the power of a seed. When God gives you a word, it's a seed in your heart. If God gives you a dream, it's always in seed form. When God gives you a promise, it's in seed form. But you know what the Bible says? One man plants, one man waters, but God gives the increase. Romans 12, 3. The Apostle Paul tells us that every one of us believers has already been given a measure of faith. So we don't need to pray, God, give me more faith. We need to pray, God, help me to exercise the faith you've already given me. Some people have got large faith. Some people have small faith. But the Bible says faith as small as a mustard seed is incredibly powerful. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. My old senior pastor, when I was growing up as a young person, said this. She said, God is only limited by a man's faith and prayer. Smith Wigglesworth said, anyone can be ordinary, but it takes faith to be extraordinary. I love what Brian Houston said about faith. He said, optimism ignores the facts. Hope challenges the facts. But faith transcends and supersedes the facts. We've got to step forward. We've got to stretch out. The facts may be you've got cancer, sickness. We can't bury our heads and go, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. You're sick. But faith says, by His stripes, I am healed. The facts are your finances may say you are bankrupt or you are struggling just to meet the daily cost. They are the facts. They are real. But faith says He shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. The facts are you may be facing an impossible situation. But faith says nothing is impossible for God, for all things are possible to those who believe. The facts are you may have unsaved spouse, an unsaved child. But you know what? That's the fact. But faith says out of the book of Joshua, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The facts are you're facing a giant. The facts are you're facing a mountain in your business. But faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The facts are you're divorced. You're a widow. You feel lonely. They're the facts. But faith says this God will never leave you nor forsake you. The facts are you have faced rejection in your life. But faith says this nothing can separate you from the love of God. The facts are you may have fear in your life, fear of losing your job, fear of the future, but faith says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us power and love and a sound mind. The facts are you may have a broken heart, but Jesus said by faith, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. The facts are you may may suffer from addictions or bondages. But Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free. The facts are, you may have no vision for your future, but Jesus said, I will give recovery of sight to the blind. The facts are, you may be burdened with guilt from the decisions you've made in previous years. But faith says, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The facts are, sin dominates our life. But faith says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The facts are, right now, you may be facing storms and overwhelming circumstances, but I want to declare by faith, the same Holy Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is alive and within you. Can we all stand on our feet all over this place? The book of Hebrews says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know what? What's awesome is you just have to have a little seed of faith. Small, insignificant, Lord, my faith's not much. No, but if it's the size of a mustard seed, wow, there's incredible power in your life.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.